Good, and so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome back, everybody. Little thought for you this week to mull over. There are few things in life more liberating than having your worst fears realized. Sometimes, the most effective way to overcome your worst fear is to face your worst fear. There's few things in life more liberating than having your worst fears realized. Some examples of this I'd like to share with you. One of my favorites comes from the world of baseball. And I know everybody's heard of Babe Ruth. Here's a little tiny anecdote about Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth, as you know, for decades was the home run king of baseball. But did you know that Babe Ruth was also the strikeout king? He registered something like 500 strikeouts in his career, and Babe Ruth led the league in strikeouts for multiple years. And one day, a heckling news reporter walked up to him and he said, "Hey, slugger, how's it feel to be the strikeout king of baseball?" And Babe Ruth answered, he says, "When I stand at the plate, I swing as hard as I can. That means I'm either going to hit big or I'm going to miss big. But the reason that I can hit big is because I'm not afraid to miss." Faced his fear. Overcame his fear. Another little story. I don't think I've told you this before. I don't think I've ever told you before the story of the worst homily I ever gave. I know I told this to the Daily Mass crowd, but never to the Sunday. Worst homily I ever gave. Back in the seminary, they taught us how to preach with no notes. So I'm standing up here before you right now. I've got no notes in front of me. Which means if I fall, there's no safety net, okay? So back in the seminary, I'm up there, I'm giving a homily in the seminary, and gathered all around me is everybody I know. All my friends are out there. And all my classmates are out there. And worst of all my professors are out there. And all eyes are on me, because I'm the one up there giving the homily. When suddenly, I forgot what I was supposed to say next. I just drew a blank. Didn't know what to do. I just looked out at everybody in stunned amazement. And everybody looked back. I dropped my jaw and went and sat down. Of course, after Mass, you know what everybody said? "This is the best homily you ever gave." Why'd they all say that? You know why they all said that? They all said that because everybody knows what it feels like to fail. And there's something reassuring about knowing it's okay to fail. And as soon as they said that to me, I knew it was okay to, and I've never been afraid again. Overcome your fear by facing your fear. That's the lesson St. Peter learned here in this gospel today, and it's the lesson that we need to learn as well. Because in all the history of the church, there will never be a scandal greater than the scandal that took place on Good Friday. I don't care how bad the scandals ever get, we will never get worse than we were on Good Friday. Because on Good Friday, 11 out of 12 apostles, the first bishops of the church, ran away from Jesus himself in his hour of greatest need. And of those, nobody fell harder than St. Peter. St. Peter, who just hours before had boasted that he would never betray Jesus. Remember how the story goes? That very first Holy Thursday night, Jesus and the apostles are gathered at the Last Supper when Jesus says, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And Peter, with no shortage of arrogance and spiritual immaturity, announces to the group, "Even though everybody else might betray you, I will never betray you." And of course, you know that very night, Peter betrays Jesus three times. Story unfolds like this. Jesus is on trial for his life. And St. Peter is standing in the courtyard of the high priest. He's warming his hands beside a charcoal fire. when suddenly a woman walks up, looks Peter in the eye, points an accusing finger in his direction and says, "You're one of his disciples, aren't you?" Peter recoils. He says, no, not me. Somebody else steps forward. "You're definitely one of his disciples. I've even seen the two of you together." And St. Peter responds, no, you're mistaken. A third person comes forward and announces to all the crowd, "This is definitely one of his disciples. Even his accent gives him away." And St. Peter says, "I swear I do not know that man." And what's fascinating about St. Peter's third denial is that if you go back to the original Greek text, it's even stronger. What St. Peter actually said was, "May I be damned if I know that man." Nobody ever fell harder than St. Peter fell. And in all the Bible, there's no record of any conversation between St. Peter and Jesus until right now, when St. Peter and the apostles are on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and suddenly Peter says, "I think I'm going fishing." St. Peter hadn't been fishing in years. Why hasn't St. Peter been fishing in years? You want to know why? Because Jesus called him to something higher. That's why. "Come follow me," Jesus says. "I'll make you fishers of men." "Peter, you are a rock. And on this rock, I will build my church." That's why Peter hasn't been fishing. He's called to something higher. But now all of a sudden, Peter's interested in fishing again. Why do you think that is? Speculative, of course. But do you think just maybe the reason why Peter wants to go back to fishing is that he figures that all those promises of Jesus no longer hold? Not after what he did. Not after betraying Jesus three times. He probably figures Jesus is going to go find somebody else to take care of all that, so I better find a new day job. So Peter decides he's going to go back to fishing. And what does Jesus do on the shore? But he builds for Peter a charcoal fire. There's only two places in all the Bible in which there's ever a charcoal fire. It's a very rare word in Greek. The word is anthrakia, charcoal fire. Two places. Number one, the courtyard of the high priest on Holy Thursday. And number two, right here on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, just for St. Peter. Do you think just maybe Jesus built a charcoal fire on purpose to make Peter recall that night? Yes. Yes. And there's been no conversation between Jesus and Peter until this moment. And Jesus turns to Peter and he says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Now, Peter, he's got to be thinking in his mind, "Oh, great, here we go. I'm going to say yes. And Jesus is going to respond, well, then, if you love me, why did you betray me in my hour of greatest need?" Because don't we all think that God turns his back on us when we've committed sin? Yes. If you think, after you commit a sin, that God is disgusted with you, wants nothing to do with you, join the club. People have been thinking that way since the book of Genesis. Go back to the original sin in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. First thing they do after they commit the sin, what do? They go and hide from God. Do we hide from God after we commit a sin? You bet we do. What do people do? They stop praying. They stop going to confession. They stop going to Mass. They figure God is disgusted with them. But God never is disgusted with us. He never abandons us or loves us any less. It's rather we who hide from him. Now imagine Peter's amazement when he discovers this. "Peter, do you love me more than these? Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep." Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? And the poor prodigal who falls as hard as anybody could possibly fall, hits rock bottom, says to himself, "I know I can never be a member of this family again, but maybe if I went back home, I could get a job as a stable hand. And he's astonished to discover that his father restores to him the full dignity of everything that he lost. That's what Peter discovers right here in this gospel. Feed my lambs, he says, Jesus says. Feed my sheep. There's no one in the world more qualified to lead the church than St. Peter. Because he knows what it means to sin and to sin big. And more importantly, he knows what it means that regardless of what he's done, God has never abandoned him. And now we can share that with others. Now, the reason why I say everything that I've just said, the reason why I say it is this. Somewhere in your life right now, Jesus is standing beside a charcoal fire. And he's built it for you. Because all of us, or most of us, here in this church this morning, have at least one chapter in our biographies that we would rather leave unpublished. Sins you've committed, maybe years of sins you've committed. Maybe sins that are still going on right now to this day, and secretly in your heart, you'll never admit this to anybody, but it's in there. You think God is disgusted with you. You think God is deeply disappointed with you and wants to turn away from you. And I want you to picture and imagine Jesus standing beside a charcoal fire that he has built for you to come close to him. Because the most liberating thing in the world is to face your worst fear. And there is no fear worse than the thought that God doesn't love you. But if you go to that place with our Lord, you'll find that he has always loved you. And you'll be free. And I'm talking about the sacrament of confession. Jesus is so good in giving us this sacrament. There's something about admitting out loud what you've done that sets you free from the burden of what you've done. And hearing somebody say to you in God's name, I absolve you. Now go in peace. What saddens the heart of your Father is not your sin. What saddens the heart of your Father is when you are unwilling to face it, to turn it over to him in his presence. St. Teresa of Avila, she used to go to confession, and she would stand outside the confessional, and every single one of the sisters in her convent would come out after they were done with confession, and one by one she would take them, embrace them, hold them by their shoulders, look her right in the eye, and say, now, begin again. One by one, she would say, begin again. Don't ever be afraid to take your worst fears into God's presence. Be confident in his love for you, please. Because the lesson that our Lord wanted to teach to St. Peter, I'm absolutely certain he wants to teach it to you as well. Begin again and come follow me. Amen.